Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. A short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor, and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on to the show. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in for this episode of the Bone Coach Podcast. In this episode, I'll be interviewing one of the leading functional medicine practitioners in the Midwest. That's Midwestern US for our international listeners. If you're not familiar with it, functional medicine focuses on addressing imbalances in the body by identifying the root cause and treating the person with a whole body systems-based approach. In functional medicine, hormones, gut health, nutrient deficiencies, heavy metal toxicity, diet, lifestyle, environment, and other factors are all taken into consideration when developing an approach to improve your health, all while incorporating modern diagnostic testing. And the reason I wanted this to be one of the first interviews on the Bone Coach Podcast is because I've seen firsthand how this approach to medicine has helped many people, myself included, restore their health. Now, you may not be familiar with this functional approach to medicine. Many people aren't. It wasn't until a few years ago that I really understood how valuable it can be. And you may be more familiar with the conventional side of healthcare. Go to the doctor, describe your symptoms in an 8 to 15 minute window, and then wait for your next medical intervention, whether that be a pharmaceutical treatment, medication, or surgery. Now, I've talked about this before, how for the majority of my life, this was the approach I thought would always lead to the outcome we all desire, better health. And that's not always the case. Conventional medicine certainly has its place, especially when we're talking about things like acute care, trauma care, urgent care, surgery, and even other areas. But many would agree that in order to successfully prevent and treat long-term chronic diseases, including osteoporosis, you need a multi-pronged approach with different perspectives that get to the bottom of all your root cause issues. My hope for you is that after listening to this episode with Dr. Seth Gerlach, you'll better understand how functional medicine can serve as a complement to your health efforts and help support you along the way in your own health journey. That said, let's get on with the interview. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. I'm super excited for you to be here today. We have a fantastic guest, and I think you're going to learn a whole lot about functional medicine. Dr. Seth Gerlach, he's a board-certified chiropractic internist. He's a functional medicine practitioner trained at the Kalish Institute. He is the founder of Core Health STL, which is a functional medicine clinic here in St. Louis. He's also one of the leading functional medicine practitioners in the Midwest, and he's also the creator and founder of DrSethGerlach.com, where he helps moms get better through functional wellness. So, Dr. Seth, welcome to the show.
Kevin, thanks for having me, man. That was an awesome introduction. I'm happy to be here and happy to talk about some functional medicine today.
Great. And you know what? I should also mention that I have actually personally worked with Dr. Seth. He was a key piece, an instrumental part of me actually being able to restore my health, get my gut, my hormones back to where they needed to be. And, you know, I have a very high praise for Dr. Seth. So I'm really happy that he could be here today.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Your story is amazing. So it's great that you're sharing all this with other people too.
Well, thanks. Well, so a lot of people, you know, our audience is people that they're newly diagnosed with osteoporosis. They're trying to figure out there may be some other underlying condition, and there's a good possibility that they could have other issues with things related to gut health, with hormones, with detoxification abilities, and they may only think that there's one approach, and that's going into a conventional medicine practitioner. And there are other options out there and other perspectives. And I wanted to bring in the functional medicine perspective. And if you could you just give people an idea of what is functional medicine? What's the difference between functional medicine versus conventional medicine? And help us understand that.
Sure. And, you know, I'm not here to dog on conventional medicine and say it's terrible. You know, conventional medicine's great for certain things. Like if you break your arm, if you get hit by a car, if you need an emergency surgery, our conventional medicine system is amazing here in America. But it's not great at finding out these interesting, like these weird conditions. Like let's say you get osteoporosis or you get osteoporosis early, maybe you have another chronic condition. Conventional medicine is not great at keeping you alive and giving you a great quality of life while you're doing that. So I tell people conventional medicine is the medicine of what? So you go to the doctor, it's okay, what symptom do you have? What disease can we name it? And then what drug can we give to you? So it's all about what. I tell people functional medicine is the medicine of why. So if someone comes to me, all my questions are around, why do you have this in the first place, right? Why do you have osteoporosis? Why do you have high blood pressure? Why do you have hormonal imbalances? So it comes back down to the individual and not kind of throwing someone in a box. So let's say you go to a conventional medicine doctor, you know, almost every single person with osteoporosis is going to get the same treatment. So if you go to a functional medicine practitioner, a naturopath, someone like this, it's all about you, the individual, your diet, your environment that you're in, your stress levels, the toxins you're exposed to, your family history, all that's taken into account. And then a plan is made around that for you, the person. So I tell people it's more personalized. It's about why, not what. It's more cost effective in the long run because you don't get thrown in medications that you take for the rest of your life. It's let's find and fix the root cause issues. And that you'll hear that a lot with functional medicine practitioners is root cause, right? So we want to, instead of just giving you something like a medication to cover up symptoms, we want to actually dig deep and find out what's causing that in the first place. I tell people it's the equivalent of, let's say your car is broken down and you take it into the mechanic. The conventional mechanic would say, hey, your check engine light's on. What I'll do, I'm going to go ahead and knock that off for you or put some tape over that so that pesky light isn't going to bother you anymore. And then you drive off and you're like, well, my tires are still going crazy and I'm still smoking over here. What's going on? The functional mechanic would put it up on the lift, run all the specs, say, hey, this is your carburetor is doing this and your tires have this pressure and blah, 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 blah. This is how we're going to fix it. So that's the inherent difference between the conventional medicine of today and functional medicine, which is gaining more and more traction because people are sick and tired of just taking medications to cover up a symptom. They want to know what's wrong with them and they want to feel better, look better, and age gracefully.
No, and that, I think that's a great explanation. And you know, I totally agree. There is a time and a place for conventional medicine treatment. Acute and trauma care, we do have a great system set up for it. But yeah, the long-term management of chronic diseases, you know, we need the functional medicine perspective for that. So a lot of times when you see clients come in for a functional medicine appointment, what are some of the most common things and common reasons that they're coming in? Because a lot of people that have osteoporosis, they also have some kind of secondary issue related to a lot of times gut health. I see a lot of my clients have gut health issues, but then also hormonal imbalances too. So what do you see when people come in and are looking for your expertise?
Yeah, I mean, the big symptoms that we see would be like fatigue is probably the most common just because when these processes aren't running in the body, a big side effect is going to be fatigue. So that's a big one. GI issues is another one. So people with constipation or diarrhea, bloating, gas, heartburn, that's a really big one. I see that a ton. And people that have been thrown on like proton pump inhibitors, things like that for years and years and years, and they still haven't fixed the issue. Thyroid issues is a big one too. Autoimmune thyroid, Hashimoto's, or just hypothyroid. And then just all in all hormonal issues, like their cycles off, their or menopausal issues, things like that. Those are probably the biggest ones that we see. And of course, weight gain. Everyone's trying to lose weight, but those are the big things that we see. But again, those are just warning signs. Say, hey, look deeper, something else is up. So we have to look deeper, ask more questions about that, run tests, and then we're better able to see, oh, this is what's really going on. And this is how we can present the problem. So interesting point, like osteoporosis, people also have these other things going on too. It's not, it's what's going on inside the body and what's broken down. And like you said, there could be 2, 3, 4, 10 people with osteoporosis. They could have, you know, different causes for the problems in their body. And so that's what makes your work unique and our work unique, is we're individualizing this stuff for people.
No, I think that's a great point. And, you know, just to play out an example, you know, for our audiences, let's say there's somebody who, you know, they have heartburn. Okay. They think they have too much stomach acid. They're taking PPIs. After 30 minutes to an hour of eating, they've got, you know, bloating in their gut. Their digestion is off. Maybe that leads to either constipation or diarrhea or something like that. When somebody comes in and explains to you, and also on top of that, they have fatigue too. You know, when somebody comes in and explains that to you, what does the typical process look like for working that patient up? If you could walk us through that.
Yeah, well, we get really in depth with their diet, of course, because what you eat every day is going to make your body. You are made out of literally the foods that you eat. And food is not just calories, it's information for your genes also. So it's going to help turn on good, healthy, lifelong genes, or it's going to turn on these bad inflammatory genes too. So certain foods can irritate people. Certain foods can cause inflammation or symptoms like heartburn. So it's very important. We also need to look at the stressors in their life. If they're super stressed out, and if they're in this more fight or flight type mode, sympathetic dominance, if you guys have heard of that, you're not going to be able to
digest. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So our nervous system is basically broken down into two differing parts. One is considered the fight or flight mechanism, and the other one is considered this rest and digest and repair. This is just primitive. Everyone's got this. You don't have to think about it. It happens automatically. That's why it's called the autonomic nervous system. So an example would be you're walking through the woods and you see a snake. I hate snakes, so this would freak me out. So what happens then? Like you feel that rush, right? Those the epinephrine and the adrenaline running through your body, the blood flows go into your muscles so you can run away. That is the fight or flight mode. So while you may not be seeing a snake every day, you've got stressful job, you've got kids yelling at you, you've got stressful news, you've got all kinds of stuff, and your body doesn't know the difference between a snake and all that stuff we just talked about. So your body's always in this stressed out mode. Your hormones will suffer, your sex hormones will suffer, your digestion will suffer, your immune system will suffer. And once that happens, that leaves the door open for so many different things. Because when you think about it, if you're trying to run away from a snake, are you worried about procreating? Are you worried about fighting off the flu? Are you worried about digesting your food? No, you're worried about getting away from that damn stress. So it's just a primitive mechanism that I see a lot that most people are stuck in. And you have to kind of fix that foundation for some people before you can get their digestion back on track, which comes back to the heartburn, right? So we talk about that. And then we usually do, if there's some sort of GI symptoms, like a stool test or an organic acids test, we're looking for things like candida overgrowth, for things like parasites and SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, other GI bugs. I had one this week, crazy story. She started with severe diarrhea. You'll appreciate this. Last year, it was like last November, December. And so she's been to, I think she went to her conventional medicine doctor and they didn't know what was going on. They sent her to a specialist and then they didn't know what was going on. They sent her to another specialist. They're doing all these tests. They can't figure anything out. She'd been to 4 or 5 specialists at this point.
This like sounds very familiar. Yeah, to,
I was gonna say,
to a lot of people. Me too, yeah.
Yeah, so she's been to like a rheumatologist, a gastroenterologist, an IBS specialist, whatever that is, conventional doc, and like a few other docs. No one did a stool test this whole time. Like, this blew my mind.
Unreal, yeah.
So we just did a stool test. She had E. coli. She had norovirus, which is like the stomach bug. She had like 7 different pathogenic bacteria overgrown, probably like small intestinal stuff. Her immune system shot. So like, it took me like 10 seconds to do that. And we have all this knowledge about what's going on now. And now we have a roadmap of how we're going to get her back on track. So we just started her on a few things, like literally 2 weeks later, she's like, oh my God, I feel totally different. Like I'm almost back to normal.
No, that's amazing. And I mean, just explain, how easy are these stool tests? Like people hear stool tests and some people are a little grossed out about that. I know it's very taboo in our culture to talk about, you know, poop, but it is a very, very important thing to talk about. It's almost a window into our health. And when you have these tools at your disposal and we use them, they can really provide some deep insights into what's going on inside our guts and our bodies. How easy is it to do something like this? And what does it look like when the results are finished?
That's a great point. Cause people don't like to talk about poop. I guess I'm just so ingrained to think about poop that it's hard for me to realize that sometimes. I had a patient one time, he was a pig farmer and he's an awesome guy actually. And he talks about, he's like, we stool test our pigs all the time to check their health. So think of it, if you take your dog to the vet, they do stool checks, right? To see what's going on. Humans is even more important because our microbiome kind of sets the tone for our metabolism, our immune system, our mood, how you digest and absorb your nutrients to create healthy bones and ligaments and tissues. So what we do and most functional medicine naturopaths do, it's like a take-home stool test, super easy. You just collect a little bit of stool and you send off just this tiny, tiny sample through like FedEx. And magically, this poop comes to this company. They run it. You never see anything. We just get the results. And we can go over, like I did with this lady this past week. Wow, we've got E. coli. We've got this. We've got overgrowth of this. Your good bacteria are kind of in rough shape. Your bad bacteria are overgrown. You're not digesting your food here. Your gut's inflamed. And that can tell us, again, so many things about how to personalize your gut, which I think is really kind of the center of your health and your body.
No, yeah, that's so important. And it also, these tests also give you insight into things like enzyme function, right? Your ability to digest fats. What are some of the other markers on there that are really important?
Yeah, to look at? So digestibility, inflammation in the gut is a big one because a lot of the inflammation in your body comes from your gut. Your immune system. So up to 70-80% of your immune cells are in your gut. So we can get a look at, it's called secretory IgA. We can see how robust your immune system is at fighting off the bad guys. There's a marker for detoxification in your gut. So think of it like this. If you in your house, you got your trash bin in your kitchen, let's say, and then you take the trash bag out and you take it out to the curb. So if you're not detoxifying from your gut, what that means is you're throwing all your trash in your kitchen trash can, but it's never taken out to the curb. So it just overflows, piles up, and you reabsorb all the toxins in your body. So we can actually see that. And that creates a lot of hormonal issues for people I see. Because you reabsorb all these estrogen compounds and toxins and things like that, it's going to overflow or spill to other things. There's candida, H. pylori, parasites, like we said, big bad bugs like E. coli, salmonella, viruses, good bacteria. So looking at good bacteria is important too. You want most of the bacteria in your gut to be these good guys, you know, 80, 85%, we want to be good. And we want just a little bit of bad, and we want those to be in good ratios. So that can actually look and see what your good bacteria look like too.
That's great. Okay, so then here we get the test results back. We see what's off, what's not right, what needs to be adjusted. What would be a very general protocol? So you see something's off. What would be a general way that you might approach helping somebody get back on track?
Yeah, so we always start with foods because from my perspective, that's very important. And you know, someone once said, food is the biggest antigenic load on the body. What that really means is it can be the biggest stressor on your body because you're taking something outside and you're putting it into your body, and then your body has to physically break it down and then absorb it and make your own tissues out of it. That's a big stress if you're eating like all kinds of toxic stuff, your body's like, dude, I am trying to keep up here, but at some point I'm not gonna be able to do this anymore. So dietary changes are very big. Taking out foods that could potentially be harmful for your gut, creating inflammation, creating symptoms, that's very, very important. I give the analogy of you're walking down the street and you step on like a bed of nails on your foot. I don't know why you're not wearing shoes, but you're not. anyway, your foot hurts and you're like, God, what can I do? So this is a great analogy. The conventional medicine approach would be like, all right, let's give you some ibuprofen until the pain kind of goes down and then we'll keep walking. But you still have the nails in your foot. The problem is still there. So let's say you have 10 tacks. I hear people all the time say, I took out gluten and I didn't feel a ton better, so I don't have any food allergies. Well, that could be just one of potentially, you know, dozens of foods that could be problematic to you. That's like taking one nail out of your foot when you have nine left, right?
Yeah.
So I have people take out a lot of the most common foods. Let's take all these 10 out, at least for a few months while the gut heals, while the inflammation calms down, while your immune system calms down. And while we're healing and repairing, then we can add back in foods later. So,
so that's some kind of form of an elimination diet,
right,
that yeah. takes place. Yeah.
I use some form of elimination diet, but while you're healing and repairing the gut, I think that's very important. Because why you have food sensitivities and symptoms would be the breakdown in the gut and the immune system going haywire in the first place. You have to address that. So how we address that, we help you break down your food, right? We have to make sure you're breaking down and absorbing the foods that you're eating. That's very, very important. And then we're going to look at how do we bring balance back to the gut, the bacteria, the good bacteria. How do we build up your good bacteria? Excuse me. And how do we eliminate the bad guys, the candida, the parasites, the small intestinal bacterial growth, H. pylori, whatever it may be. Now, functional medicine practitioners usually don't use things like antibiotics. We're usually using things more like herbs in order to bring balance that aren't as toxic for the body. It's like antibiotics would be like dropping a nuclear bomb in your gut, whereas, you know, herbals would be like going in with a sniper rifle and very deliberately taking out bad guys.
And, you know, there are even some herbals that have some benefits for bone too. I know berberine is one of them. Yeah. That's used frequently in these herbal protocols for
also great for blood sugar.
Yeah. Just to summarize here. So, you know, to get people back on track, a lot of times what you do is you'll do some sort of elimination diet. Obviously we're focusing more on whole unprocessed foods, but you're doing some form of an elimination diet to get a baseline. So that way, eventually when you do add these foods back in, you can tell which ones are triggering or causing the inflammation. And you're exactly. also giving your body that time to properly heal. Then you're also looking at, okay, how can we help improve digestive function? So you're adding in something like digestive enzymes, maybe betaine HCL, something like that. Right. And then you would be approaching it with some sort of herbal protocol if there is some kind of dysbiosis in the gut to kind of rectify and bring order back to the gut, if you will.
Right. And that's kind of like the base protocol. And of course, everyone's is a little bit different. Timing's different. Dosages and all that stuff is different depending on what's going on, what people can tolerate, things like that. I find it's a lot of give and take. You know, it's a lot of, all right, we're trying this. We're upping dosage. Ooh, can't do that. All right, we'll come back down. You know, we're altering stuff a lot. I don't know if you see that a lot too in your clients too, but I see that a lot.
Yeah. No, and it's definitely a trial and error. It's nothing is ever set in stone when you first start. So some of the other things that you touched on when we were talking about gut health is how gut health can impact your hormones. And hormones play such an important role, not just in our overall functioning of a good health, but also in our bones. Estrogen has a protective effect. Testosterone has a protective effect. And there are so many other hormones that play a role in our bone health too. Could you just talk through what are some of the things that you look for and some of the things that you help people with in regards to hormones?
Sure. And I mean, hormones I think are, you know, especially for women too, they say like my periods are off or menopause is terrible. I'm just going to go you know, get birth control, or I'm just going to go get hormone replacement. And while a lot of women do that, that still doesn't fix the underlying issue. Like, you're in America, the Western world, we have more quote unquote hormonal problems than most other countries just due to our lifestyle mainly. Like, the toxins we're exposed to, the foods we eat, the amount of stress we're under, these have an enormous impact on hormonal health. Kind of goes back to that fight or flight that we talked about earlier, sympathetic overload. Your body's not in that healing, like, chill mode. So when we're not in that mode, our hormones are kind of going haywire, especially our stress hormones. And I'm sure you know the adrenals really well. The adrenals have a big impact on a lot of different things in the body. So your adrenals are kind of like your reserve tank. You know, when you have that stressful day at work, or someone cuts you off in traffic, or like someone dies, you have to rely sometimes on this reserve tank of energy just to keep you going, to keep you afloat. Same kind of thing, though. We can't rely on our reserve tanks forever. At some point, you run out of gas, right? When that happens, when your cortisol, DHEA ratio is off, your stress hormones are off, that's what's going to throw off your immune system and your digestion and your sex hormones, like your estrogen, progesterone. I see this a ton, and even testosterone, are really altered when you are in that stressed out state and your adrenals are really off. For women in particular, like, going through a pregnancy is a very big stress on your body and your adrenals. Going through menopause, again, very big stress on all these things. Those big life events that we talked about. And for men too, me myself, my adrenals were shot. I was like going through school. I went through chiropractic school, like burning the candle at both ends. My adrenals were shot and I was in a rough, rough spot, you know, for a while. But rehabbing kind of all these things was just huge for my hormones. These are some of the pieces that I take going forward is, okay, how do we get to removing the stressors, emotional stress, the chemical stress, whether it's like blood sugar, toxins, GI bugs, not working out enough, working out too much. These are all big things that really play with our hormones.
Yeah. And what are some of the tools that you might use to assess someone's hormone levels at a functional level perspective?
Sure. My favorite test is the Dutch test.
Yes.
Have you used that one? It's you get so much information from it. It's so cool.
All the metabolites.
Yes. Yeah. No other test does that. It's a urine and saliva test for you guys at home. It's a take-home kit, just like the stool. You guys get to have just one party day full of lab testing yourself. But it shows
one expensive day of
I know, right? But it shows your adrenal hormones, like your cortisol, your stress hormones, as they fluctuate throughout the day. It's very important. So a lot of times you go to a conventional doctor and they test a blood cortisol at one point throughout the day and they say your hormones are fine. And I'm just like, oh, that's just frustrating, because all of your hormones fluctuate throughout the day, especially your stress hormones like cortisol. So that tells us what's going on. You know, if your cortisol is up in the morning as it should be and then drops, that's good. I see some people, it's completely opposite. Like, their cortisol is low in the morning. They're like, I can't get out of bed. I'm just tired. I'm fatigued. I'm like, no, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Also looks at your estrogen, not only your estrogen levels, but how you're processing that through your body. We talked about the gut earlier. And detoxifying, if you can't detoxify your estrogen, you reabsorb it and it's more toxic. And I see this all the time with hormonal issues. And that's more of like a detox liver issue sometimes, where you're just not breaking it down and getting rid of it. Progesterone, looking at DHEA, the metabolites from that. And then also some organic acids like serotonin, dopamine, your B12 levels and glutathione, how you detoxify. So it tests so many different things. And it's like a 1 day collection, super easy.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing test. And, I know that when I first was diagnosed with osteoporosis, one of the tests that was run on me, was I believe it was like a 24-hour urine cortisol or something like that. Well, I had thyroid issues at the time too. And if your thyroid is off, you may have problems breaking down some of the metabolites for cortisol. So you might have really high levels in your urine, and the Dutch test kind of corrects for that. which is pretty
neat. And you can see like total cortisol, and then you can see your free. And there's, if there's a discrepancy in the two, you can see, wow, is it a liver issue breaking it down? Is it a thyroid issue, you know, not recycling it?
Yeah.
Production issue. There's so many different things you can garner from that test.
Yeah. Really, really important test. And you know what, I'll actually link to that test in the show notes for those of you who are interested in looking into that. Okay. So some of the other topics that you're really, really well versed in, you've mentioned detoxification a few times. A lot of times people feel like detoxification is a buzzword because there's so many detox smoothies and recipes and things like that out there, but it really is so important for our body's proper functioning. Could you explain at a very basic level, what is detoxification? What all are the components that play into it, and why is that important for our overall health?
Sure. I mean, very simply, everyone's detoxifying all the time. So doing a detox is kind of a buzzword. You can ramp up your detox pathways a little bit, but your body is always working to detoxify. So you get rid of toxins in four ways. You breathe them out, you sweat them out, you pee them out, and you poop them out. So that's the as basic as you can go, right? So you've got all these different organs and these systems that help do that. So my whole thing is, you know, the best way to get ahead of being living in this toxic world is being mindful of the toxins you're exposed to. So, you know, you can control your home. You can control the environment in your home more than walking outside. So what can you do in your home to decrease or eliminate the toxins you're exposed to? The foods you eat, are there a lot of pesticides in them? Things like that, GMO foods, these are all really toxic for the body. Are you drinking enough water to flush out your toxins? Your gut's very important for detoxification too. So there are, you know, great nutrients to take and great herbs to take and things to do, but I always start people with basic stuff first. You have to stop the onslaught coming in, usually before you ramp up the getting rid of. I tell people it's like a bathtub. The water is always coming in just due to our world we live in. There's over 100,000 chemicals that have been exposed or invented since World War II. Like right now I'm breathing in so many toxins, I don't even know it, but my body's working hard to get rid of them.
And that's unreal. Just the amount of chemicals that are out there.
Yep. And it's key every day. It's growing. So back to the bathtub analogy, that water is always coming in. Is your drain plug unplugged? Is it unclogged? If not, your bathtub's going to overflow. It's going to overspill. And that's when we start to see problems in other areas, skin issues, you know, brain fog, memory issues, osteoporosis, joint pains, swelling, inflammation. All these things can come from you not properly getting rid of the stuff you're exposed to. And I think that's a big thing for people to realize is even though you may not, people don't correlate like these symptoms with, you know, toxicity because they're like, well, I didn't die when I poured the gas yesterday, so I'm fine, right? It's just, it's a cumulative effect, a cumulative load, like a cup, right? Your cup is constantly being filled. You have to be cognizant of how you're going to empty that every day.
No, I think that's a great point. First, you have to stop the onslaught that's coming in. So like you said, I think the low hanging fruit is eating more whole unprocessed foods, avoiding conventional produce if and when, you know, resources allow for that. So eating organic foods, avoiding GMOs if possible. There are just some other things too, avoiding bottled water.
Yeah. I would say
chemicals and things like that.
Watching water is a big one. Because your body's mostly made of water. You're supposed to be drinking a ton of water. That's how you flush out toxins. Are you drinking toxic tap water? Are you drinking bottled water with plastic? Or are you drinking good, pure, filtered water? And I think two people don't think of when you shower or bathe, you are absorbing all the toxins from that water. So I think it's like 10 minutes in a shower is equivalent of absorbing a gallon of water or the toxins that are in that gallon. So easy things like shower filter, bath filter, drinking water filter, like those small steps are huge for helping your body detoxify.
Totally agree. Water is a huge one. Getting something like either a reverse osmosis filtration system with a remineralizer to add the minerals back in, or you could do something like a Berkey, one of the Berkey systems that has a fluoride filter, something like that. And then also for detoxification, what are some of the ways that people can support without doing anything crazy, just natural everyday things that they can do to support their detox pathways?
Yeah. Easy stuff. And I made videos on this. We just talked about water, making sure you are going to the bathroom every few hours, peeing every few hours, making sure your urine's fairly clear. That's one of the easiest ways to flush out toxins. The solution to pollution is dilution. So the more water you have, the more you're flushing out these things. Another one is making sure you're going number two every single day. If you're not, you need to look at your diet. And if you're still having troubles, you may need to work with someone like Kevin or a functional medicine practitioner, naturopath, to make sure you're going every single day. But usually upping your fiber can help with that. You know, some good fibrous veggies can usually help with that. I love sauna personally, just because sweating out toxins is huge. And if you're not sweating multiple times a week, you are toxic, because there are certain toxins you can only get rid of via sweating. So I can't overestimate the importance of saunaing regularly or sweating regularly. So those are just simple stuff like to start. Cruciferous veggies are a great food group that are really great at liver detoxification. Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage, things like that. Kale can really up your detox pathways too.
Yeah, and a lot of times, a couple notes there. So you had mentioned sauna and sweating. I love that you mentioned that there are certain toxins that can only come out through sweating, because when I was first diagnosed with osteoporosis, one of the things that I tried to avoid doing was losing minerals through my sweat. Mm-hmm. And that was a mistake on my part, because I am a poor detoxifier. You know, I have the genetics for poor detoxification.
Me too,
and,
brother.
And you know what? I avoided sweating for a very long period of time, and my body just continued to become more and more toxic. And I think it's important that if you are going to go and sweat in a gym session or do a short sauna session, that you do add and replace in the minerals that you're losing back into your diet. That's a really important thing to mention. But then also, you mentioned cruciferous vegetables. Those are really important too. Some people, if you do have gut issues, will have problems with certain cruciferous vegetables and breaking down some of the sugars and starches or whatever it is within those vegetables. I think it's raffinose is one of them. But if that's the case, they might be something that you just pull out temporarily and try to add back in or work back up to.
Right. Like the FODMAPs too. That's kind of similar. I see that a lot with GI issues, especially like gas and bloating, SIBO type stuff. A lot of people do better on a low FODMAP diet, which could be another topic for another day, but it's all about individualizing again.
Are there any other things that you can think of as to why someone would want to come into a functional medicine practitioner and just get a second opinion, even if you've already gone to a conventional medicine doctor, or you just want to have both your conventional medicine practitioner and your functional medicine practitioner as a team kind of coordinating and quarterbacking your health together?
Sure. I mean, we talked about a lot of the things already. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, or you're ready to just finally get ahead, the majority of people I talk to, they're like, you know, I'm sick of my doctor not listening to me. I'm sick of just being thrown on medication. I'm sick of, you know, getting worse every single year. If you're ready to finally look deep into your body and find out what is going on, then functional medicine is the place for you. If you want to have a good relationship with a doctor, if you want to be, I tell people, my goal is to make you your own best doctor. So we want to help you build up a foundation. We want to help you uncover these things, but I don't want you to have to rely on me. I want you to be able to know how to do these things, because I'm not always going to be there, right? So we want you to know wow, these foods bother me, and I can tweak that, and all right, I'm good. I'm still on the right path here. Or I need to sweat twice a week, or else I'm not feeling great. Or these are the things I need to do for me if I feel like I'm getting sick. If you want, you know, individualized, personalized medicine like that, which is the future, that is what functional medicine is here to do.
I think that's for anybody starting out on their health journey, whether you have some kind of serious health issue that you're trying to figure out, or you just want to make sure you're living a long, healthy, happy life. I think having a good functional medicine practitioner in your life would be a good thing to do. Any last notes that you think would be important to share? Or do you want to share with people how they can reach out to you, how they can get in touch with you, how they can work with you, things like that?
Yeah, sure. I think just closing is find someone you like to work with. You know, Kevin's great. You're great at what you do. There's tons of great functional medicine practitioners out there and naturopaths. Find someone you like to work with. Find someone that's going to help you actually get to the root cause of your problem, actually help educate you, hold your hand along the process so you can get better. But there are other ways out there. It's not just conventional medicine anymore. We're lucky. We live in a great time today where there's so much information. These tests are amazing. Like, we know so much more about the body now. So there's always hope. There's always hope to get better. Your story is a testament to that. My story is a testament to that. So people can heal. You can find me locally in St. Louis, corehealthstl.com. That's our local practice. We also have drsethgerlach.com is where I got a lot more information on there. We have a course called The Right Diet Method on that website. It kind of walks through some of the stuff we talked about, finding the right foods for you, healing and sealing your gut, which is really important for a lot of your listeners too. You can follow me on social. I'm really active on Instagram, Dr. Seth Gerlach.
And I think also for our other listeners that aren't local to the Midwest, some of them are all across the United States, even international. Do you still work with clients via Skype or Zoom or whatever, if they are international or based somewhere else in the US?
Yeah, we can definitely do that and come up with a game plan on how we're going to, again, fix the root cause problems, get you back on track, and help you become your own best doctor. That's what it's all about.
That's fantastic. Dr. Seth, thank you so much for coming on the show today, teaching us about functional medicine, how to get started, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
I hope this episode gave you a better understanding of functional medicine and how it can support you along the way. Like I've said before, if you haven't done so already, I'd encourage you to make a commitment to yourself to be your own health advocate and even quarterback your own health. As the quarterback of your health, you should look to build a team of people who have the knowledge, expertise, and training needed to help you. Treating symptoms without addressing the root cause just won't cut it. If you want to resolve your longest standing health issues, you'll need to get to the bottom of them. Functional medicine could be that missing piece. You can find all the notes, resources, functional testing mentioned, and where you can find Dr. Seth Gerlach over at bonecoach.com/functional medicine. If you haven't already done so, now would be a great time to hit that subscribe button on the Bone Coach podcast so you never miss an episode that could help to improve your bone health. We've got a lot of exciting information on the horizon and some amazing guests that I can't wait to share. Thanks again for listening. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. See you in the next episode.